morning as we begin. Henry Nouwen, a very devout author, said Jesus came to announce to us that an identity based on success, popularity, and power is a false identity. An illusion, he says. Loudly and clearly, Jesus says to us, you are not what the world makes you, but you are children of God. Children of God. There are so many people out there, aren't there, that are confused about their identity. We have people confused about their gender identity. We have people confused about their sexual identity. Countless men and women and teenage boys and girls walking around not knowing who they are and searching for the answer to find out who they are. People are struggling to find their identity in this world today. What's worse is that there are churches filled with people who are confused about their spiritual identity. That they don't know who they really are now that they've given their lives to Jesus, and they struggle to hear the voice of God telling them that you are my precious child. They struggle to hear those words. Everybody struggles to answer the question, do you know who you really are? And we're continuing a new series of messages focusing on our identity in Christ and trying to answer that question, trying to answer the question as a Christian, who am I? And in the process, in the next few weeks, we're going to discover that we bought into some false narratives, some false stories about this subject, about our identity and who we are as a Christian. And so today, we're going to look at a famous person in the Bible who was confused about his identity. We're going to look at Moses, the man Moses. So turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and let's pray and let's get into this. Amen? Heavenly Father, so many of us don't really know who we are. And we're living other people's expectations, and we're living other people's dreams, and we're living other people's opinions of us, and we're not really living out of the confidence of God, out of the confidence of who we are and as a child of God, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand more, even yet this week, about who we are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Moses was the greatest leader in the entire Old Testament. Hands down, greatest leader in the entire Old Testament. If it weren't for Moses, there wouldn't be an Israel today. Think about that. Moses is the guy whom God gives the Ten Commandments. You know that one? He's the author of the first five books of the Bible. Moses wrote those. He's a pretty important guy when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to Christianity. We know Moses, right? Most of us know the story of Moses. The Jews have been slaves of the Egyptians for 400 years. And during those 400 years, they had a lot of babies. They multiplied. And Pharaoh became insecure and thought that the Jews were going to take over Egypt. And so he decreed that all Hebrew baby boys were to be killed. You know this, right? And along comes a Jewish woman. She gives birth to a baby boy, and naturally she's not going to let her baby little boy be killed. And so she hides him for 3 months, and then she puts him in a basket, makes the basket probably herself, puts him in a basket, drops him in the Nile River, hoping someone will be moved to save the child. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Pharaoh's daughter in the river bathing. She sees the basket among the reeds, and she goes over. She finds the boy. Her heart melts. And all this time, Moses' sisters hiding in the grasses, the tall grasses, looking on. And she pops out, probably scared, Pharaoh's daughter, pops out and says, do you want me to go get one of the Hebrew women, and so she can nurse this baby? And Pharaoh's daughter said, sounds like a plan to me. And so Moses' sister went back to get mom. Nice. Mom nursed Moses till he was old enough to be taken to Pharaoh's palace. And he finally is taken, and Pharaoh's daughter names the baby Moses, which means I drew him out of the water. That's what Moses means. I drew him out of the water. So here is Moses, a Hebrew, raised as Egyptian royalty. But yet Moses is a story of a confused identity, isn't it? It's the story of Moses rediscovering who he really was. And once he discovered who he really was, it changed his life and it changed the whole course of history. And Hebrews summarizes the story of Moses for us. And we find it in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. It's the story of Moses. And once he figured out who he was able to fulfill God's purpose for his life. And he was a whole lot more content knowing who he was and knowing that there was an important reason for his life. How many would like to be more content and happier as they're living in their lives today? How many would like to know the important reasons for your life in this world? Who wouldn't want to know that, right? Everybody. And so Moses tells us a few things. He shows us a few things that happen when you figure out as a Christian who you are. When you figure out what God has done in your life and what God has for your life, there are a couple things that happen when you discover your true identity. And the first thing is this: knowing my true identity requires spiritual maturity. Now, no doubt Moses, he asked himself all the identity questions that we ask ourselves. Who am I? You know these questions? Who am I? Does my life matter? Does my life have meaning? What am I supposed to do with my life? Have you ever asked those questions of yourself? Yeah, just nod or just nod anyway if you haven't. Makes me feel better. Yeah. And so Moses, he asked these questions. You know, at some point we've got to figure out the answer, don't we? Moses did. He figured out the answer. Look at verse 34. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. At some point in time, at some point, Moses grew up and stopped living a lie. He grew up. And here, you see, here was a man who's born a Hebrew slave. He was a slave. Well, he would have grown up to be a slave, right? And yet he's raised in Pharaoh's palace as a royal child. He's really a slave. He's raised as a royal child and an heir to the Pharaoh's throne. And Moses comes to this mature moment where he finally asks himself the question, who am I? Am I a rich Egyptian or am I a slave? Am I going to fake it or am I going to be who I was born to be? And I think Moses had this self-talk in his head for the rest of my life. I can pretend that I'm Pharaoh's grandson. I can enjoy position. I can enjoy power. I can enjoy the salary. Right? All I have to do is keep my mouth shut. And I can live that way. And if I admit I'm really the son of Jewish slaves, I'm going to be poor the rest of my life. I'll be humiliated. I'll be tossed out of the palace. I'll spend the rest of my life as a slave. Now, which one would you choose? Would you fake it for the rest of your life? Or would you be somebody that you were really meant to be? Would you be who God made you to be? Or would you fake it? It's a good question. Moses refuses to live the lie anymore. He refuses to live the lie. Listen, so much of our stress comes from not knowing who we are. When you don't know who you are, then you live for the expectation of other people. When you don't know who you are, you live for the approval of other people. When you don't know who you are, you live in fear that others might reject you. And you're always maneuvering so that everybody approves you and not rejects you. When you don't know who you are, you'll become a people pleaser. You become what your family wants you to be, what your husband wants you to be, your wife wants you to be, what your friends want you to be. You become a people pleaser when you don't know who you are. And Moses had a grown-up moment. And he refused to fake his identity. And he says, that's enough. No more. I'm not faking it any longer. I'm done. He has this grown-up moment. And you know what? We need, as believers, we need some grown-up moments in our lives to discover who we really are. We need, you know, somebody brave enough needs to say, you need to grow up. Right? Yeah. So that could be dangerous, but anyways. Wouldn't you agree that the most spiritual person in the entire history of mankind is Jesus? Right? The most spiritual, mature person in the entire history of mankind is Jesus Christ. No arguments there, right? And as we look at the Gospels, we see Jesus very clear about his identity. John chapter 8, verse 14 said, Jesus said, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. He was very clear about who he was and what his purpose was and where he was headed and where he was going. There was no questions about Jesus knowing who he was. Right, how many read the Gospels? Right, you discover that. Right? And you know, when you know who you are, you don't try to be who you're not. That just went pew. Right? Some of us here need a grown-up moment, a moment where we say, enough. I'm not going to live according to everybody else's expectations, desires, and opinions. hang on to that thought, because at the end, maybe you need to do business with God about that. I like what Psalm 119, verse 24 says, "Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors." And I love that. The Word of God is our counselor, not our mom or our spouse or our boss or whoever. Who counsels us? The statutes of God, the principles of God, the truths of God in the Scriptures. They are our counselors. True? So we need this enough moment, right? But don't read into that this permissioning to be rude, right? To be independently nasty, right? To hell with everyone. I'm going to do what I want. Don't hear me as that kind of permissioning. We're aiming for confidence, not cranky. We're aiming for confidence, not cranky. There's a couple more spiritual marks of maturity that I want to give you before we move on. The first is this. You know you're spiritually mature when you stop blaming others for your life's direction. And this is pretty hard when the culture says nothing is ever your fault. In America, it's always society's fault. It's your parents' fault. It's the media's fault. It's the fault of every person who ever hurt you in your life. It's their fault. Maturity stops blaming other people. Other people in your life can hurt you. True? They will hurt you. People will hurt you. I don't have to tell you this, right? You've experienced it. People will hurt you. There's no question about the fact that people will hurt you. But no one can ruin your life without your permission. No one can ruin your life without your permission. And maturity says, I'm not going to blame other people for my life's direction. So who are you blaming? Who or what are you blaming for the direction of your life? Who are you blaming for your unhappiness? Maturity says, I'm not going to do that anymore. Secondly, you know you're spiritually mature when you stop living off other people's spiritual commitment. Right? Now, listen, clearly God chose Moses. No question about that, right? God chose Moses. I mean, Moses really didn't have a chance. I mean, he just couldn't get out from under God's calling, could he? He tried. He tried best he could, I'm just a fumbling idiot. That's basically what Moses said. He was like Elmer Fudd. I can't do it, And God says, nope. You're the guy that I've called. And so God chose Moses to lead his people out of bondage to slavery, but we also see that when Moses grew up, Moses chose God, didn't he? He had to choose God. When he was a baby, it was fine him to rely on his parents' faith. But now that he's growing up, it's got to be his faith. He's got to own his faith. And he can't say any longer, well, my mom was a strong believer. I've heard these things a lot, in years past. My grandma was a real prayer warrior. What about you? Right? My uncle was a preacher. My great-grandfather was a preacher, right? But Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us will have to give an account of himself to God. We have to give an account to God ourselves. And so when we're face to face with God in the end, he's going to ask you and me, how did you live your life on the earth for me? How did you live your life? Not grandma, not mom, not your brother or whoever. How did you live your life on the earth for me? And so we need to ask, is there someone's spiritual commitment that and faith that we're kind of piggybacking on, right? We're hoping, I mean, they were really tight with God, you know, and they really liked me. I was one of their favorites. And so that's going to help me with God. Now, everybody has got an individual responsibility and accountability with God. Amen? So knowing our true identity, it really helps us when we're mature. Amen? And secondly, knowing my true identity defines my responsibilities because, you know, God custom made and planned all the events of Moses' life in order to prepare him for one task and one task only. He wanted Moses to be the national deliverer of Israel. That was his task. And Moses finally learned God's purpose for his life, and he saw how God was using every circumstance of his life, even the painful ones, right? He saw how God was using even the painful circumstances of his life to groom him for that one task that he was to do. Big task. And it was at that moment that Moses could no longer ignore the painful cries and the sufferings of his people, and he accepts his mission. And I want to just say this. God didn't create you and me to do everything. But he created us to do some things for him. He didn't create us to do everything. But there are some things that he did create for us to do in this life. And I get it. We didn't all have great parents. Some of them were terrible. Some of them were indifferent to us. Some of us here don't even know who our parents were. Maybe you were raised by a stepdad, a stepmom, a single parent. They had baggage. Everybody's got baggage, right? And you and I, we experience some hurtful things in our lives, things that no child should ever have to experience in their life. But I want to say this morning that God can redeem all of that. And he can use it somehow for good. And he could shape us into a difference maker in people's lives for the kingdom of God. We can become difference makers for the kingdom. And God can use all that stuff in our lives. All of it. And turn it around and redeem it. Do we believe that? I believe it. Yeah. So when we find out who we are as a believer, we'll understand more about what he wants us to do, our responsibilities as a Christian. But there's a third thing that Moses teaches us, and that's that knowing my true identity decides my priorities. Look at verse 25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. When you know who you are and who God made you to be, it helps you to know what matters and what doesn't matter. You know, when you understand how God called you into his kingdom and you became a follower of his, when you really truly understand that he calls you an heir, right, of salvation, but also a child of God, a son and a daughter of the Most High God. When you understand all those things about who you are as a Christian, right, you then learn how to spend your time. You learn how to spend your money. You learn how not to spend your time and how not to spend your money. You have your priorities. Suddenly, your priorities get shuffled. It's more like God takes the deck and just, you know, 52 pickup, you know that game? Right? And he shuffles the deck of our priorities. Think about this. Moses, raised in the lap of luxury as Pharaoh's grandson. And as he looked on, I'd imagine him saying, you know, looking on at all the slaves, they're wasting away, and he saw them getting beaten and murdered every day, slaves getting, you know, beaten and dying in the, you know, the work was hard and crushed by stones and all that stuff that happened. And I imagine Moses saying, you know, he may have said, well, that's none of my business. That's none of my concern. But once he discovers who he really is, it changes completely his priorities, and all of a sudden, the stuff in the palace doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. And we know it doesn't matter because verse 26 tells us that he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And so, let me ask you, if you could describe what are the five most important values in your life, could you name them in order? The five most important priorities or values, the things that are the most important in your life, could you name those five things in your life? I like what Rick Warren says. He says, if you don't decide what's important to you, other people are going to decide what's important for you. And you'll live for what the crowd says is important. Do you hear that? You'll live for what the crowd says is important. Now, the top priorities of Moses' day aren't much different than today. There's three of them, really. The first priority in the time of Moses was popularity, status, fame. And Moses was the up-and-coming Pharaoh, right? The Bible says, though, that he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be known as Pharaoh's grandson. He refused it all then, didn't he? And so we had this popularity. That was a value of Moses' day. And the second value of Moses' day was pleasure. We just know it like this. I want to be happy. I want to have fun. I want to get high. I want to experience life. That's it. That's what, right? And Moses lives in a palace with every pleasure possible known to man. Money, power, sex, everything. And he walks away. He walks away. Popularity, pleasure, and the third is possessions. Possessions, money, wealth, security. And all of the wealth of the ancient world was stored in Pharaoh's palace. All of the wealth of the ancient world stored in Pharaoh's palace, and Moses is going to inherit it all as his grandson. And Moses walks away from it all to join a bunch of slaves. Why? Because once he knows his identity, he takes on God's priorities. God's priorities. Now, here are the priorities for Moses. When he discovers who he is, he discovers that God loves him. He discovers that God created him. He discovers that God has a purpose for him. He discovers that there's some things that God wants him to do. He has this revelation, right? And his priorities completely flip-flop and they changed. What were those priorities? Here were the priorities for Moses. The first thing is this: fulfilling God's purpose is better than popularity. Hands down. Better because fame doesn't last. Right? They'll like you one day, and they'll chew you up in the media the next. Right? They'll love you one day, and they'll think you are the scum of the earth the next. Huh? And it doesn't take long for that to take place. And so he understood now that fulfilling God's purpose is a lot better than popularity. And the second thing for Moses was this, is that loving God's people is better than pleasure. Loving God's people is better than pleasure. And listen, I like to have fun. You like to have fun? I love to have fun. It's fun to have fun. Well, I mean, it's fun. I don't know if there's any word to describe it, right? But pleasure seeking can keep us out of the game of fellowship. It can keep us out of the game of service. It can keep us distracted and ineffective in this world as a witness of Jesus. Because all we're chasing after is fun, pleasure, the next high, the next adrenaline rush, the next experience, right? And it can keep us out of the game from what God wants us to do. Now, can you have fun along the way when you're doing what God wants you to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. Probably have more fun. If you're really focused in, zoned in on what God wants for your life, right? Thirdly, here's the priority of Moses. Having God's peace is better than possessions. Think about it. Think about this. Moses gave up everything we spend our lives trying to get. Now, you might be thinking, what motivated him to change? And the answer is in verse 26. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses looks ahead to his reward. Now, a couple principles I want to share with you. I want you to think about these. One, what I look at is what I'm going to become. Think about this. What I look at is what I'm going to become. And the second principle is this, and what I look at the most is what I'm going to love the most. What I look at the most is what I'm going to love the most. And Moses says, I'm not looking at the here and now. I may not have the most money in this earth. I may not be the most powerful on this earth. I may not have the most pleasure on this earth, but I'm going to be rewarded in heaven. I'm looking ahead. I'm looking ahead. And when you live in the confidence that God loves you, and then you discover who he wants you to be, your entire priorities change. They change. And so knowing our identity changes our priorities. Our priorities. You'll have to deal with God on whether they've actually changed in your life. The final thing is this, knowing my identity determines my direction and my destiny. Once Moses realized that he was God's own possession, that God loved him, and that God had chosen him, his life took on a whole new direction, didn't it? Hebrews says this in verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. What that means is when you finally understand that God has uniquely created you, and he places within you certain abilities and certain gifts, and he has some specific things for you to do in this life, there's a couple of things that happen in your life, right? First, it gives you and me the courage to leave our past behind. Circle that phrase in that verse, he left Egypt. He left Egypt. Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. And in the Bible, Egypt always represents slavery, doesn't it? It always represents bondage to something, chained to something. Egypt. Now, we could talk about Moses all day long and never get to what really matters, and that's you and me. So here it is. What's your Egypt? What's got you enslaved? What's got you under control? What's got you stressed out? What's got you panicked? What's got you inhibited emotionally, mentally, spiritually? What keeps you from even going out, venturing out of the house? What's your Egypt? What we need is the courage to walk away from our past and the stuff of our past and walk in this life by faith and not by fear or by doubt. True? Some of us really need to leave our past behind. It's been haunting us too long. It's like a very, very long chain that stretches back decades in our lives. Very, very, very long chain of slavery. We need to leave our past behind. But secondly, the Bible says that Moses persevered. He had tremendous endurance. He led a bunch of whiners across the wilderness for 40 years. I mean, come on. He waited really in increments of 40 years to do a lot of things, if you think about it. He wasn't a young man when he led Israel out of slavery. He persevered. He endured. If there's anything in my personal in my life that I want to say, I want to be the hallmark of my life is that I never gave up. Persevered, and endured. Didn't give up. Which is really another principle that we need to understand. If you don't know who you are, you're going to give up. If you don't know your reward and look ahead to that, you're going to give up. You're going to give up. How many of you know people, because of who they didn't know who they are, they didn't know all that they had been given in Jesus Christ, walked away from it all? How many of you know people that fell away, gave up, not serving God, not following Jesus, don't even believe in him? Each one of us, right? Each one of us could know people like that. I know more than I care to know that are like that. Some of which pass through the doors of our church. Moses kept moving forward. And he longed for the day when he could embrace his friend, the great I Am in heaven. You know that in the Bible it says that Moses and God talked face to face as friends on the earth. As friends, face to face. But what greater thing to be face to face with your friend in heaven? Amen? I mean, really. An embrace. And Moses was looking ahead to that. He was looking ahead. That's what motivated him. That's what motivated his to keeping his priorities and changing his entire life and understanding who he really was and what he was made for. And it was the entire motivation of his life. Let's finish. Hebrews chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's no more important questions, are there, than who am I and what am I here on the earth for? No greater questions than those. Who am I and what am I here on the earth to do? What am I here for? No greater questions. Let's pray. Lord, I confess that I'm 55 years old. I'm still trying to figure this out. Still trying to discover who I am. I'm pretty confident that there's some here that have shattered identities or broken identities. And some that have just lost their identity altogether. They don't know who they are at all. So I'm asking, Lord, that you help us to find the answer to the question, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Open our eyes, our spiritual eyes and ears, so you can really speak to us. Other words, this could... is just going to be a nicely crafted speech with no meaning. This morning I want to lead you in another prayer today. But this time I want you to pray it silently in your head. Silently. Would you pray this after me? Just commune with God silently. Father, I want to grow spiritually. I want to be spiritually mature. I'm not that confident, and I pretend to be somebody I'm not. Help me to know who you want me to be so it really defines my responsibilities. Lord, I want to focus on what you made me to be and do in this life. Not what other people want me to do and to be. I believe, Lord, that your priorities are better. That your purpose is better than popularity. that loving people is better than pleasure. That having peace, your peace, is better than anything I could ever own. Help me to have a faith that lasts and doesn't give up. I purpose to leave my Egypt, to walk out on the things that have been holding me back. And I also purpose to keep my eyes on you, Jesus, and set my sights on the realities of heaven, and not just the here and now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you, the Holy Spirit has been nudging you to respond in a way beyond this silent prayer. And if you really need a grown-up moment where you say enough is enough and learn to live the will of God instead of the will of people, I'm just going to invite you to just step out into the aisle again like we did last week, and someone will pray with you. You want to be mature. You want to stop faking it. Don't be embarrassed to step out into the aisle if that's you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe some of you know that your priorities just, they're out of whack. And you want to make a declaration. You want to get them back in order. And you want to tell Jesus about that. Just invite you to stand. Just step out into the aisle and say, my priorities are rearranged. We'll pray for you. Some of you need to break the chains. There's some chains that need broken today. I know it. There are some chains. I sense it. There's some chains that need broken. Where you can let go of the past. How many, there might be some here that you really want to let go of the past. It's been really, really burying you in so many ways. Like you're buried in sand up to your neck. And you want to let go of the past. I just invite you to just to stand. Say, I want to let go of the past. I want to break the chains. Who would be courageous and say, I need to break the chains of my past? Let God minister to me. Yeah. Just as they're continuing to be ministered to, my encouragement to you is keep pressing in to find out who you are. As a child of God, who has He made me to be? What does He want of my life? And press in to know what His voice is. Know His voice, not the voices of others who would dictate who you're to be. Let God dictate your life. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great day, week.